I invite you to take your Bible in hand and turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to read the first 11 verses of that chapter this morning. If you're using one of the Bibles in the pew, you'll want to turn to page 942. And if you do not own a Bible, we would invite you to accept that Bible in the pew as a gift from us to you this morning. This sermon is a part two message from this passage in Romans 5, where the Apostle Paul declares the effects of justification before God. I said last Sunday that there's just too much here in this passage for a single sermon, hence part two today. Well, guess what? There's just too much here for two sermons. So, we're going to have a part three message from this same passage next Sunday. But I think it's important for us to read the full passage each time so that we'll see the full scope of what the Bible tells us here. Now, for those of you who were not able to be with us last week, I'm going to begin by giving a brief review of what we heard last Sunday, and that's going to be a good reminder for the rest of us as well. The first four chapters of Romans makes it clear that justification before God is through faith alone in Christ Jesus alone. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. In our sin, we deserve God's wrathful judgment, and there is nothing that you and I could ever do to justify ourselves. But the good news, praise God, is that God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. The gospel is that God gave His only begotten beloved Son to die for us and rise again so that we might be saved from sin and God's wrath. At the cross, Jesus suffered the wrath of God in our place so that by faith in Him we might be justified. Jesus bore our sins at the cross, and Jesus gives us His righteousness when we put our faith in Him. And that's the only way we can be justified. Jesus is the only way God justifies the ungodly. We must trust Jesus alone for it. Now, in these verses, these first verses of chapter 5, the Bible declares the effects of that justification before God. That is through faith alone, in Christ alone. The results of that justification. And this is an awesome passage. It covers the scope of salvation in a single paragraph. From justification, which means to be made right with God, through sanctification, which means to be made holy to God, all the way to glorification, which means to be made to look like God. If salvation was a symphony, those three would be the movements in the symphony. Justification, sanctification, glorification. And it's all covered here. And every word of it is true for every believer on Jesus. Now, Paul declares, I see at least six wonderful effects of justification in these verses. And this declaration is a call for us to enjoy those effects to the full. Give your full attention to the reading of God's word. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You again for this glorious passage of Your Word. Thank You for what You taught us in it last Sunday. And we pray now, Spirit of God, that You would anoint the preaching of this passage again, and that You would teach us more, that You would show us who Jesus is. Help us to see clearly His majesty, His beauty, His sufficiency. We thank You that this passage strengthens us and arms us as it describes for us the scope of salvation You provided. It strengthens and arms us for suffering. And I'm reminded that, well, every single one of us right now, we're either in suffering or we're going to be in suffering. So we thank You that this passage arms us for that, strengthens us for that. And we pray, God, that You would help me preach it rightly. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We heard last Sunday in verse 1, the first effect of justification is that we have peace with God. Peace is living under the full, unmeasured blessing of God. That's what peace is. But in our sin, we are enemies of the one and only God who can bless. Our sin has made a separation between us and God. He turns His face from us. As treasonous rebels against God, we deserve wrath, not blessing. And there's no enduring peace, no real peace that can be found when you're an enemy of God. But for those who have been justified through faith alone in Christ Jesus alone, that enmity with God is removed. God's wrath on our sin has been satisfied at the cross of Jesus. And by faith in Jesus, we have been given God's righteousness. God is now our friend. We have peace with God. And that means no matter what circumstances we might face in life, we can have inner rest and calm because we know that God is no longer against us. God is for us. And there's nothing we cannot face when Almighty God is our friend. Another effect of justification is life in constant grace. This was the first part of verse 2. Through His death and resurrection and ascension to heaven, Jesus has given us never-ending access to grace, which means never-ending access to God. In Christ, we have been brought right into the throne room of the King of the universe and introduced to the King with abiding relationship. The King has made us His very own children. And we have perpetual access to the throne of our Father.
Our Father knows our every need, and He will supply our every need right on time, every time. This means that no matter what circumstances we might face in life, we can have inner rest and calm because we know that we face them standing in the throne room of our Father. What can we not face when we stand now and forevermore in grace, as trophies of grace? Another effect of justification is joy with unbeatable hope. Now, this is where we ended last Sunday. But we didn't look at the fullness of this third effect of justification. We thought together about what is the hope of those who have been justified. Verse 2 tells us that our hope is of the glory of God. And it's biblical hope. It's not wishful thinking. It is settled assurance that our outcome is secure because Almighty God has promised it. You see, our hope is that we will one day live bodily in the very presence of God. Our destiny is endless bliss in His presence. And beholding His glory is going to bring about our glorification. When we see Jesus face to face, our transformation will be complete, and we will be made to look like God. That outcome is not in question for those who have been justified by faith in Christ Jesus. It is our God-promised destiny. We have that joyful hope. Now, that's where we stopped last Sunday. So that concludes our review. We begin today now by thinking together about the unbeatable nature of that hope of those who have been justified through faith in Christ Jesus. And as we think together about this unbeatable nature of that hope, we actually enter into the movement of sanctification. If we think about salvation as a symphony, we're entering into the movement of sanctification. When do people most often lose hope? It's when they're facing some kind of great adversity, right? I mean, if life is tracking along easy, then people are not even really thinking about the subject of hope. Happy days are not when people are likely to say, there's no hope. No, it's when facing some great adversity, some evil, some hardship, when people tend to lose hope. Suffering tends to beat hope down. Now, this is completely understandable for those who have not been justified before God. The Bible says that the unbeliever is without hope and without God in the world. So it is completely understandable for a person to lose hope in suffering if they don't have God with them. But this passage has made it abundantly clear that that is not the case at all for those who have been justified through faith alone in Christ Jesus alone. No, we have peace with God. Almighty God is our friend. We stand in His grace, and our hope has the glory of God as its object. Our destiny is endless bliss in the very presence of God Himself. There is no suffering that can beat that hope down. Now, actually, our suffering simply tends to reinforce that hope. Paul is telling us, declaring these effects of justification so that we will see that. We need to focus on that hope. That's what Paul is calling us to do, to enjoy that hope to the full. He writes in verse 3, "More than that, we rejoice in our suffering." Now, let's be real. That sounds a bit strange. Rejoice in our sufferings. But this is not a one-off in Scripture. James says the same thing in his letter to the church. The Apostle Peter, his first letter to the church is taken up with this subject. And of course, all of the apostles are simply echoing Jesus, who said, "Blessed are you when others persecute you. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Paul is simply echoing Jesus here when he says, "More than that, we rejoice in our suffering." Certainly, suffering from persecution is a big part of what Paul is speaking of here, but I don't think it's limited to that. All suffering that comes from living in a world that is broken and wrecked by sin is included here. Physical suffering, psychological suffering, emotional suffering, financial suffering, name the pain. Name the pain. Paul says we rejoice in it. But how and why? Well, it's because there is nothing that can beat our hope that we have as believers on Jesus. The suffering that we experience simply serves to reinforce that hope. Paul even says it produces that hope. You know, a great problem that the various cultures throughout history have tried to help their people work through is how to make sense of suffering and evil. You know, that's a primary goal of philosophy. And all of the world religions seek to give an answer to the problem of pain. But there's nothing in the world that gives an answer that comes even close to matching the answer that the gospel of Jesus gives. Therefore, there's nothing in the world that offers strength to sufferers that comes even close to matching the strength that the gospel of Jesus gives. The gospel of Jesus is that God Himself has come down here into our world that is wrecked by sin and filled with pain of divine judgment. And God Himself has suffered that judgment in our place so that we might be saved. God the Father gave up His only Son. And God the Son endured the pain of a rugged and wrathful cross, and He did so with the joy of our salvation in view when He returned to glory and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And there's coming a day when He will take us up with Him into that glory. It was suffering, then glory for our Savior. It will be suffering, then glory for those He has saved. So Jesus said, in the world, this world, you will have tribulation. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And Jesus' apostle Paul later preached, it is through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And later in this very letter, Paul is going to write, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not even worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. Now, some people say that Christianity is simply a pie-in-the-sky way of dealing with suffering. Well, the Christian's answer is, we do have a pie in the sky, an inheritance kept in heaven for us. And if you could just taste a bit of that pie, you could have joy in your sufferings too. But it's not the pie in the sky alone that keeps our hope alive. It's the God who has promised to take us there. The God whose plan included the death of His only begotten beloved Son for our salvation. The worst suffering and evil that has ever been experienced. When the Son of God was slain on a cross, the cross of Christ, the worst suffering and evil that has ever been experienced, God's plan turned that evil back on itself to accomplish that which is gloriously good. Yes, Satan was at work. Yes, sinful man conspired to put to death the Son of God. But God's plan turned all of that evil back on itself to accomplish our salvation. And brothers and sisters in Christ, the same God works the same way in your sufferings today. No matter what type of suffering you are experiencing today. And I know the sufferings that some of you are experiencing today. No matter what suffering you are experiencing today, you can trust that God will turn that evil of pain back on itself to accomplish that which is gloriously good. Now, we may not understand how in the world God's going to do it. God is still God, and we are still not. So it's understandable that we may not understand His purposes in our suffering. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing? Isn't it a wonderful thing when in this life you can look back at a time of a severe pain and you can see what God was doing in the midst of that pain? That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But that doesn't always happen. You may not reach a point in this life where you can look back and see what God was doing in the midst of that pain. There's some things we won't understand until we see Jesus face to face. But then, everything will make perfect sense. Everything. And in the meantime, we rejoice in our sufferings because we trust God who has mapped our journey out for us. We need to understand this, though. God's purpose for us is not to remove our problems here and now. God's purpose for us is to make us look like Jesus. God's purpose for us is the glory of His very presence. And before glory, we have a cross to take up and follow the One who has saved us. We rejoice in our sufferings because suffering does something in us. And so what does Paul say here? He says, suffering produces endurance. Well, now that makes sense. We would not know, we would not have endurance if there was nothing to endure. Suffering gives us that opportunity. And then Paul says that endurance produces character. Now, character is that which you really are. And there's nothing quite like suffering to shape what you are and to reveal what you are. And to the glory of God. You know what? Our sufferings can glorify God by shaping us and revealing us. Now let's think about those two purposes for suffering. This is going to be helpful for us. Let's think about those two divine purposes for our suffering. Just for a few moments. First, our suffering can shape who we are and glorify God. Suffering is God's gem. The writer of Hebrews speaks about God's discipline in the lives of His children. And there the Bible says, "For the moment, All discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now that word that's translated trained in the book of Hebrews there is the word from which we get the word gymnasium. Suffering, painful discipline, is God's gym. You go to a gym to work out your muscles, right? To put them under stress, to endure the pressure and the pain, to grow stronger. And that is God's purpose for suffering in the believer's life. And it's the muscle of faith that suffering serves to bulk up. It's not some stoic, grit your teeth and bear it mindset. There is no joy to be found there, and that is not Christianity. It is the muscle of faith that suffering serves to work out. Christian endurance is trusting the God who has mapped out our journey, who oversees our times of pain, and who is with us in the midst of it. Suffering can and will expose sin in our lives. And anything that is not from faith is sin. Suffering helps us to root out sin and strengthen faith. Suffering can shape what you are and glorify God. Brothers and sisters, let's not waste our suffering. Let's rejoice in it. Suffering can also reveal what you are and glorify God. Suffering can serve to show the authenticity of your faith and the sufficiency of Jesus. When you are walking through a dark time of pain and you endure it, still looking to and loving Jesus, there's the evidence that you are indeed a true believer. Is that not a cause to rejoice? And Jesus who saved you is glorified. And when you walk through that dark time of pain and endure it, still trusting and loving Jesus, others notice. More than notice, they are watching for it. If you claim to be a Christian, your lost family members and neighbors are going to be watching very closely when you are mistreated, when you suffer injustice, when your loved one dies, when you hear the grim medical report, when you are in pain, they are going to be watching closely. Why? Because they want to see some proof that this Jesus is real. They want to see if you really can pray for those who wronged you. They want to see if you really can weep and rejoice at the same time. They want to see if your faith really is enough to carry you through. They want to see if you really are who you say you are, and if Jesus really is who you say He is. Our suffering can serve to reveal what we are and glorify God. So, brothers and sisters, let's not waste our sufferings. Let's rejoice in them. When we endure our suffering trusting God, it is plainly shown who we are. We are the people of faith in the all-wise and all-powerful one and only God who is able to do everything that He has promised He will do. And so Paul says here that character produces hope. We heard last week that hope is faith merely looking forward, right? Remember? So when you experience God strengthening you to endure suffering, and you endure it, then what you are seeing in your own life is the evidence of God working in you to finish what He started. You are seeing the evidence of God working to make you look more and more like Jesus. You are experiencing the all-wise, all-powerful God doing a work of salvation in your life. Having been justified, you are being sanctified to one day be glorified. Now, call it pie in the sky if you want to. But let's think about it this way. This brief life in this world in which pain is such a problem is the closest thing to heaven that the unjustified will ever know. But this brief life in a world filled with the problem of pain is the closest thing to hell that the justified will ever know. We take up our crosses in our suffering, and we follow the one who has suffered to save us and make us His own. And glory is on the horizon. And this is why Paul said, that I may know Christ. He wrote this to the Philippians. He said, that I may know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Oh, brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That is the hope of those who have been justified. And there is nothing that can beat that hope. It is an unbeatable hope. Our sufferings only serve to reinforce that hope, strengthen that hope, even produce that hope. That hope will never, never let us down. That hope is anchored in the promises of the all-wise, all-powerful, one and only God who has justified us with the precious gift of His only begotten beloved Son. Which brings us to the next effect. Another effect of justification is true comfort by true love. Verse 5 states outright that our hope will never let us down. This hope in Christ, it will never let us down. Paul writes, and hope does not put us to shame. For those who have been justified by faith alone in Christ Jesus alone, there will never be a point in which we reach dashed hope. Never. And then Paul tells us why. He says there in verse 5, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, I need to tell you at this point, we're going to end on this effect today. But we're not going to finish looking at this effect today. We're going to begin next Sunday by looking at the same effect. But today we're going to think about the experience of God's love. And next Sunday we're going to begin by thinking about the nature of God's love. So for today, for the rest of our time today, let's just think briefly about the experience of God's love. Two things we should note immediately when we come to verse 5. Two things. One thing is that this hope that we have that is the effect of being justified, it's the effect of being justified by the triune God. This passage, the full scope of this passage, speaks of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So the whole Godhead has done a work to justify the ungodly.
And that's why we can say we have peace with God. And that's why we have an unbeatable hope. The whole Godhead has worked to justify us. The second, that's the first thing we should note when we come to verse 5. The second thing, and this one really should pop off the page. The second thing that we should note when we come to verse 5 is that this is the first time the Holy Spirit has been mentioned in the book of Romans. Apart from in Paul's greeting. So this is the first time the Holy Spirit's been mentioned in connection with the Christian life. It's right here. Through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone, we have been given the Holy Spirit. God Himself comes to live within us. I do not know of a greater effect of justification than that. Sometimes I fear we've heard the gospel so much we get over it. Really. Sometimes I fear we hear these truths so much they just kind of go in one ear and out the other. They don't amaze us anymore. God in me? God in you? What a gift of grace. What an indescribable gift is the Holy Spirit. His presence in us is the outpouring of God's love that is like a life give, it's not like, it is a life-giving downpour on a dry and weary land where there was no water. Oh, hey, all we once knew was panting weakness. All we once knew was parched hopelessness. We were like dying. No, we weren't like. We were dying pilgrims trudging through life, lost in a vast desert. But all that's changed. All that's changed. Sure, the journey's still hard, right? Is the journey not hard? The journey is hard. But something in the pilgrim has changed. We now have a constant source of strength and hope within. Within. We now know firsthand why Jesus was to be called Emmanuel. God with us. Oh, how precious. How precious is the Holy Spirit of God, the comforter of every true believer on Jesus, the flood of the love of God in our hearts. And the verb tense in this verse is the perfect tense, which means it is past action with ongoing perpetual results, which means God's love has flooded my heart with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and God's love keeps on flooding my heart with the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. It's only by Him that I can cry out, Abba, Father, in Jesus' name. This effect of justification is paramount in understanding how the believer on Jesus endures suffering in joy with unbeatable hope. There's strength to be found. There's strength to be found in knowing that the all-wise, all-powerful, one and only God has mapped out my journey. And that He oversees my times of pain. And He's working through my suffering to finish what He started. To make me look like Jesus. There's strength to be found in knowing that God Almighty works through my suffering to glorify Himself and to prepare me for glory.
There is strength in knowing about the perfect wisdom and the perfect power of God to accomplish His purposes for us. But it is God's love that brings us true comfort when we are hurting. Rejoicing in suffering does not mean that we are not to be real with God about our pain. God wants us to be real with Him about our pain and to cast all of our anxieties upon Him. Rejoicing in suffering does not mean that you paint on a little smile when you're hurting. You grin and bear it. No, that's not rejoice. Rejoicing in suffering means that we know God is with us in the midst of the pain. Not only does God use our sufferings to sanctify us, but His love for us, oh, His love for us is boundless and perfect, and He will never abandon us in the pain. He will never forsake us. He is a very present and a well-proven help in time of every trouble. And if you've been walking with God for any time at all, then you know that it's often in the darkest valleys of pain when we find the delights of His love most sweet. To know His comfort. I personally do not doubt that this is the lion's share of God's purpose for us in our sufferings. You know what? Perhaps you have heard it said before, God will never give you more than you can handle. Well, don't you believe that for a second. That's a flat-out lie. God will give you more than you can handle. Hey, if that was true, we would never learn to depend on God's grace more and more and more. God's love would have us grow in understanding His perfect care and total sufficiency for us. God's love would have us grow in the joy of knowing God, who is love. And it is often in the dark times of suffering where the bulk of that growth takes place. And that is certainly a cause to rejoice. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no pain. I will fear no suffering. I will fear no disaster. For Thou art with me, and Your rod protects me, and Your staff corrects me. It is Your love that is my comfort. Let's not waste our sufferings. Let's rejoice in them. The hymn we are about to sing says it this way. Every joy or trial falleth from above. Traced upon our dial, that's our time, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully, all for us to do. They who trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Let's pray and we'll sing together. Father in heaven, we thank You for how Your word is so, of course, real with us because it's truth. And Your word arms us and strengthens us. It points us to Jesus so that we might see the unmeasured love that You have demonstrated to us in Christ.
the boundless grace that you give to us in Christ, the tender mercy that you give to us in Christ. Thank you for how this passage arms us to face suffering and to face it well. Help us to remember all that you've taught us. Holy Spirit, help us to glorify our Savior. Help us to follow after him, taking up our cross, looking with absolute unbeatable hope to the glory that awaits us in the presence of our Father in heaven. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.